Well, most of us here this morning, if not all of us, have received an invitation at some point in their life to an event of some sort, and on that invitation you read the letters RSVP. In the context of social invitations, RSVP is a request for a response from the invited person or the people. This actually was derived from the French phrase, and it's an acronym from the French phrase, Répondez s'il vous plaît, literally, reply if you please, or please reply, RSVP. And what this is doing, it's asking for a response from the recipient. When you get those invitations, they want to know whether you can make it or not. They want to know your intentions so that they can plan for your arrival. But there's three possibilities when you receive those invitations asking for a response. There's three possibilities. First of all, you can just simply ignore it. A lot of people ignore it. They say, well, they know I'm coming, so I don't have to send this back. They know I'm going to be there. Secondly, you can turn it down for whatever reason. Maybe you already have something on your schedule. Maybe you just simply don't want to go because you don't want to sit and hear somebody complain about all of their aches and pains. Or it just wouldn't be fun for you, or you really don't know the people well. Thirdly, you can accept and respond, yes, I will be there. The fact, though, is that you have received an invitation. The event is planned, and now the ball is in your court. When I read the scriptures that were given to me for today, I started to ask myself a lot of questions about these. What's so special about these scriptures, these ancient stories about wise men coming to Jerusalem to see someone who had been born? Who were these men? Where did they come from? Why were they in Jerusalem? And why does Matthew tell us about them? You know, a lot of times at Christmas time we have the Nativity and we have the three wise men. You know, the three wise men were not actually even at the Nativity in the stable, but they're part of the story, the larger story that we see when we have the Nativity, remember up here on the altar. They're part of the whole picture. They're part of a greater faith story. So we put them there so that the invitation becomes more real for us personally when we see it, to come to Christ, to accept Him as who He truly is. Sometimes we read the story, it's, wow, it's really cute. These three men, these three wise men, some call them kings. They came from afar. They saw the star. They followed it to Bethlehem. Wow, that's really awesome. And the cliche today is wise men still follow Jesus. You know, I'm not much on these modern cliches. I think sometimes they're a little bit superficial for us and we need to go a little deeper. And that's what I want to do today. Let's notice some facts, first of all. When we read Matthew's Gospel, I thought this was really interesting when I've studied through Matthew. Matthew's Gospel is very male-dominant, very masculine in his stories. Now, if you know anything about Matthew, you know that Matthew was a Jewish tax collector. Tax collectors collected taxes and kept records based on the male figure of the family. So I can start to understand why Matthew would only include male figures in a lot of these stories. He talks about the announcement coming to Joseph. The angel came to Joseph and told Joseph that the baby was going to be born. How the angel came, or how the three wise men came to see Jesus after he was born. He talks an awful lot about Herod and Herod's response. He talks about John the Baptist, Jesus, John's disciples, which traditionally were mostly men. He talks about Jesus' temptation. He talks about the healing and emphasizes the healing of certain men who had certain ailments and so on and so forth. So I thought it was interesting that Matthew is the only gospel that really tells us or even mentions about the three wise men. Okay? He calls them magi. These men would have been an honorable class of astrologers from the Far East. The Far East is known for its astrology and astrologers that watch the stars. But as Matthew tells us about these three wise men, why are they even there, and what does Matthew want us to know about them and about what happened? First of all, the fact was Jesus had been born. That was a fact. It had happened. It was something factual and historical. Second, Herod was king. It was at this certain time period that they came to Jerusalem. Now, if we read the story and we study it, we understand that the reason they came to Jerusalem is because Jesus was no longer in Bethlehem. He possibly was in the 2 to 3 year old range at this point. And his mother and father would have been somewhere, possibly in Jerusalem, heading back up to Galilee and to Nazareth, where they came from and where they were going to be, except God directed them in another way. That's another part of the story. But Jesus had been born. An event had happened that was so amazing and life-changing that it literally changed the course of human history, and it affects every human being that comes after it, including you and I today. We are seeing the effects of the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem today in our world, and unfortunately, in many ways, it's taken a negative turn. Okay? The birth of Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, changed the course of human history and changed the destiny of every human being that would come afterwards. Every event since the creation of the world calls for a human response, calls for an RSVP. In other words, everything that has happened since the world was created calls for you and I personally to decide in our hearts whether we believe it or not, what we believe about it, what we think about it. From the creation of the world, from the Garden of Eden, from all that happened throughout history. The Twin Towers coming down. There's people that believe that the Holocaust did not actually happen. That it's not actually true. You see, we're called to respond to different things in our own hearts and make up our own minds as to whether we believe it or not, what we believe about it, and whether we accept it as truth. Do we believe? What do we believe? And there's no difference in the event of the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. It tells us in the text that Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod. After he was born, these magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who had been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Wow, there is a whole year's worth of sermons in this. This is so deep theologically in this reading. First of all, how did these men even know anything about Jesus? First of all, these were honorable class of astrologers. They watched the stars, and in their minds, the stars told them things. The gods put signs in the heavens to announce certain things. And they probably, being the honorable class of magi, would have studied all different kinds of writings, okay, and all different kinds of prophecies. And they probably knew that in the Jewish context, in the history of the Hebrews, there was prophesied that a Messiah was coming, a great king who would save his people. And as they saw the star, they came to Jerusalem and says, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star and have come to worship him." In other words, what they are doing, they are acknowledging that this event really happened. They are RSVPing to what was going on in their own personal life that day. The sign in the heaven, the star, "Where is he?" saying to them, "We believe, but we want to see it. We are investigating for ourselves whether this is true or not. Where is he? We saw a sign that he's been born, and we have come to worship him." To worship him. Now, I've read the definitions of the word worship. Worship is defined by some as the appropriate response to God's self-revelation. And that really is deep theologically, biblically speaking. Because in worshiping Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and as God as the Creator, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As worshiping them, we are RSVPing to God's revelation in Jesus Christ, His self-revelation, and that's what God had done. He had come to earth in the form of human flesh to reveal Himself to humankind, an event that would transform humanity. And the wise men recognized something special had happened. So their response, their RSVP, was to, first of all, let's check it out. Let's see for ourselves, and it's true, we're going to worship Him. The appropriate response, because God was revealing Himself to them in a way that they understood through the stars. Now, there's King Herod. He heard about this and he was disturbed. So he called together the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and he asked them where the Christ, the Messiah, was to be born. They said, well, the prophet said in Bethlehem. The prophet Micah said concerning Bethlehem, you're by no means least among the rulers of Judah, because out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. So Herod devised a plan. He called the Magi in secretly. And he says, you go and check this out. This is Herod's response. You go and check this out. Come back, you let me know whether it's true or not. You let me know. So after they heard the king, they went on their way, and they had, following the star that they had seen in the east, that led them to the place where Jesus was. And when they came to the house where Jesus was, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and again worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh, high price things in the society of that day. And what happened because of their response? Their proper response. By faith, God warned them in a dream not to go back to Herod. Now, let's think about this for a little bit. We have an event. Jesus of Nazareth was born in Bethlehem. He was born, He lived, He died, He rose again on the third day, and He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We just stood and confessed that, right? But we have an invitation by God. The ball's in our court. God demands an RSVP from us, from every human being. Jesus was born. That's a fact. That happened. From here on out, God demands a response from every human being that's born from there on. And He sends invitations in many ways. He sends signs calling for our response to His gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Some of those signs are supernatural. People have supernatural things happen in their lives that they can't explain. It happened supernaturally. It's not natural that it happened this way. It was a life-impacting event. I've had several of them in my own life where I knew without a doubt it was God speaking to me and reaching out in my life. There was nothing else that it could be. And the way that I knew that was because of the second sign, God led me to the Scriptures. And what God was saying to me and speaking to me and revealing to me supernaturally was confirmed by His Word. And God's Word and what happens in your life, if it is God working in your life, will never contradict themselves. So God sends signs supernaturally. He sends signs scripturally. He tells us in the Scriptures. He sends us signs humanly by other people that speak to our senses. We see somebody changed. What happened to you? I found Jesus. I'm a different person now. We see people changed. We hear people speaking to us. I'll never forget the day that I stood in Ruth Deltz's driveway. And I said to Ruth as I was giving up my landscape business, Ruth, the only thing I regret, I'm leaving a family that I've come to know over the years in my business family. And Ruth looked at me and she said, yes, but remember, the disciples had to lay down their nets. I heard the voice of Almighty God saying to me, you need to lay down your nets. From other people that spoke to me in ways they never had, confirming that what God was doing in my life was very real. God also sends signs intellectually. Something happens in our life, or maybe we have a dream, so we start to think about it. And the only way it makes sense is that it came from God. It's a no-brainer, so to speak. We think it out. And it doesn't make sense until we give it up to God and say it has to be God, because here it is. And it only makes sense because it's God. And it's God doing it. It had to be God. The question is, how do we respond to these? How do we respond to these kind of things in our lives? Do we just simply ignore them? We say, God loves me. He created me. He knows I'm going to be there. We can't ignore it. God doesn't want us to just ignore it. The Bible tells us God desires that every man be saved. We can turn him down. Sadly, so many people have. We don't believe that. We just believe that's just a bunch of old stories. We don't believe that God is really a living God. We've chosen another way that we feel is better for us. Turn down the invitation. Or thirdly, we can search it out and accept it. I always encourage people, don't just accept Jesus as Savior because somebody told you you need to, or because in the Bible it tells you something. Search it out, live it out, check it out, and then you will connect all the pieces of the puzzle and it will make sense. You'll not only see God, but you'll hear God, and you'll know that it's God calling you, inviting you to be His child, to be with Him forever. All throughout the Bible, God gives signs or prophecies about signs that will be given so that we will know God is an inviting God. Isaiah, Jeremiah gave prophecies about things that were going to happen, the coming Messiah. The angels came to Mary and Joseph and gave them signs. The angel came to the shepherds and said, this will be a sign. Go to the manger. Go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened. They went. They checked it out. They searched it out. That was their response. And what they find? The Messiah, Jesus. And they left overjoyed. But oftentimes we don't believe God's giving us signs, do we? How many of you here this morning, you don't have to raise your hand, how many of you here this morning have never in your life felt God giving you a sign or a word? And you say, well, God doesn't speak to me like that. God's never given me a sign. Oh, we know what the Bible says. The Bible says this or the Bible says that. God has given us signs every day, all day. We often don't believe that it is God giving us signs. We say, what about me personally? What signs is God giving me in my life today? How do I know that it's really God? Oftentimes when I'm in the shower, I've learned more from my dog about God than I think anything else. Oftentimes when I'm in the shower, I hear something come into the bathroom, and I hear a noise. And when I get done, I look, and there on the floor lays my dog's big rope with the knots in it that she chews on. Oftentimes she'll go and grab that, bring that to me. And I used to say, what do you want? Now I know. She's inviting me to play. At certain times of the day, she'll come to me. In the evening, if I'm reclining on the couch, she'll come to me and she'll sit and she'll look at me. And I know now what she wants. She wants to lay on my lap. If I'm sitting at my computer in my study on my computer, and she's been fine, she's not paying any attention to me, she's been sleeping, and all of a sudden she gets up and she comes over and she starts nudging me. Good dog, good dog. Yep, good dog. You're a good girl. Now lay down a little bit. Daddy has work to do. But she keeps nudging me. I used to say, what do you want? But now I know. She wants to go out. You see, only by getting to know her have I come to understand what she's saying, what she wants. And now I look deep in her eyes and I say, oh, I know what she wants. Because I've gotten to know her better. And you see, that's the important key. The more we get to know God, the better we understand His language. And it takes a step and a step revelation in Jesus Christ. And the closer we get to God in that walk, the better we will hear His voice, understand what He's saying, and live the life that He's calling us to live. I can tell you, folks, God wants you personally at this great event, the heavenly banquet at which the Church of True Believers are going to be gathered up and joined to the Bridegroom Jesus. We read about that in Revelation 19. Revelation 19:6. John, with his vision, says, "I heard a sound that sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready.'" That's the wedding, the joining of Christ and the church. And the angel said to John, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." That is you and I, folks. The angels consider us blessed because we have been invited. The question is, what's our RSVP? The Almighty God. In Revelation chapter 22, Jesus speaks to John, and John says, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life." Come, come, come. That's the invitation God gives us. He beckons us on. He beckons us on. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." This is not a once, one and done deal. It is a lifetime journey of trusting in the Lord Jesus, letting Him speak to us, hearing Him, understanding Him, knowing Him, taking the steps that He wants us to take. And He is giving you and I signs every single day of our lives. Signs, stars. Do you know the Greek word for star that these wise men, these magi saw? Is astare? It means as strewn over the sky. It comes from other root words that imply the idea of to strew, to spread as a carpet or couch. In other words, they saw something in the sky, how God had displayed or strewn out His sign to them. Come. Come. Come and see. Come and see. And as I thought about this a little more, then I turned again, and you notice I continue to turn to Scripture, because this is where we find the truth and the understanding of what God's saying. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. And those words are God revealing Himself in His creation and all around us. He's revealing Himself to us. What is our RSVP to God's self-revelation in Jesus Christ? Are we going to ignore it once and throughout life? Are we going to turn it down once and throughout our lives? Or are we going to search and accept and continue to search and accept and continue to grow closer to God and better understand Him? And when the time comes, be taken up to the event that we're invited to, the wedding feast of the Lamb who is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh Lord and God, we do thank You for Your invitation.